Our scripture reading for this morning is actually a lectionary passage. It's from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 18. Now, this is a very meaty section of scripture, and it is a little bit of a longer passage than you are used to hearing. So I invite you to follow along in your pew Bibles if you wish to. And I'm very happy to have Carolyn Masaccio with me today to share in the reading of Genesis 15, verses 1 through 18. Thank you, Carolyn. Okay. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.
But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness.
Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur to the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away.
As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.
When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as a few of you already know, Tom and I, about 3 weeks ago or so, we bit the bullet. We took the plunge. We threw caution to the wind. We adopted another dog. Her name is Chloe. She's 2.5 years old. We still have Jacques, our 12-year-old poodle mix. And I have to tell you, I didn't know how it would go, but Chloe is such a gem, and we are thrilled to pieces. One of the things I most love about Chloe is her enthusiasm when I walk in the door after being away. And frankly, enthusiasm just doesn't even capture it. She is just so excited. She dances wildly in circles in the kitchen, and it's as if that moment, her wildest dreams have been fulfilled. She is so filled with joy. She is so excited to see me. And I have to say, this is something that I've missed about having a dog. This is what Jacques does. He comes in the door. He knows you really well. He's been asleep. He's in his bed under the kitchen table. He looks up at you. You see just a little bit of a tail wag, and then he goes back napping. Where is the thrill in that? You know? But Chloe, her tail wags so hard, it feels like it has the possibility of hurting someone. It is fun, it is wonderful, and it is just an unbelievable feeling to feel like someone thinks you are just that incredible. Now, you know, Tom is still around. But we've been married 40 years. I don't see this kind of thing when I come home. It's more like, what's for dinner? Did you go to the store? Oh, I know, I have to go, but do you have the debit card? No, I have the, you know. Anyone know what that's like? It's sort of that way at our house. Chloe is just a love and a lot of fun. This leads me to say something very important that I hope is the main takeaway from what you are hearing from me this morning. When will we ever, ever really know the unconditional, the total acceptance, the unrelenting, tireless love, the joy-filled love that God has for us that we actually do get glimpses of, I'm convinced, in the animals that are loved ones in our lives? When will we know that? And let's make it personal. When will you ever know it? Sometimes, and I could be wrong on this, okay, but sometimes I feel like we imagine God looking at us and saying, do you want me in your life? Deal or no deal? And yet, from God's perspective, that's crazy talk. Do you realize that? Being in our lives with complete loving acceptance is just the deal. No matter what, no matter what. Put another way, we don't get to say whether or not God knows our address. Put another way, we think of the words of Psalm 139. Where can I go from your presence, O God? Where can I flee from your presence? So this is the deal. You know, this is the only deal in town. And what do we want to do about God's unconditional, total, complete, loving acceptance of us? Well, that is the foremost question of our lives. Truly. We're going to do a little Bible study this morning. This isn't my usual style with a sermon, but we really need this in order to unpack this passage of Scripture that we have for today. And I am so grateful to Carolyn for sharing it with me because it is a lot to take in. It is meaty. There's a lot to absorb here. Now, we don't have to look very far in Genesis to just see the way things are set up. The way things are set up with this as the only deal. Here we have this very famous passage where God promises Abraham, he's Abram at this point, but later on, after he marries Sarah, he is Abraham. The name changes. We have this very famous promise where God says, look up at the heavens, see the stars, so shall your descendants be, because it will be as many stars as you could ever count. Well, that's a wild, wild promise. A wonderful promise of deep abiding, right? Does this promise have an expiration date? Hardly. This is all about God's unending, tireless, relentless, forever faithful, unconditional abiding with Abraham. And to really bring home the point, okay, of God's unending, tireless, relentless, forever faithful, unconditional abiding with Abraham, we have this whole interesting thing called covenantal agreement. This is where that Bible study part really comes into play. And we need to spend some time with this if we're ever going to get what's really going on here, what the point of all of this means. So hold on to your hats for a moment. We read in verse 10 of Genesis 15 that Abraham, he desires to get at the heart of this deal that God is making with him, which is all about God sticking to him like glue. And he brings forth animals as an offering. And what? He cuts them in half? What? I mean, a cow? A goat? A ram? It's really easy to get stuck on the visual here, right? Okay, what I want you to do is mentally put your finger as a place mark on that verse. Mentally put your finger as a place mark on that verse, because we're going to come back to it, and this is going to become clearer. I want to circle back to adopting Chloe. Of course, Tom and I had to go through this huge adoption procedure. I mean, it is the biggest thing. If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. The applications, then we got a phone interview, and then we had to go in person with Jacques to see if we passed muster. It was this huge approval thing. Now, imagine with me if Tom and I decided to bypass all of that. If we just went to meet Chloe. We said, yes, this is a fine dog. And the rescue organization people said, well, yes, I think that you seem to like her. And what if Tom and I then said, you know, we'd like to take her for a brief walk? And they said, well, okay, you can take her for a brief walk. And what if we took her home? All the while stopping, of course, at PetSmart to get some wonderful-looking toys and to get a lovely-looking bed and to get the food that she needed. And all the while, you know, the cashier says to us, wow, that's a wonderful-looking dog. And we say, yeah, we've only had her a few minutes. We're taking her home. We're so excited. And so we get home, and can't you imagine, a police officer might show up at our door and say, you have a stolen dog there. And we could say, well, what? We just brought her home. You know, Chloe's wagging her tail and she's all excited to see the man in blue. And he says, well, I'm sorry, but you didn't pay your $400. Now, We get that. We get that. We understand how transactions are made in our world. We get that. You do this, you get that kind of thing. We always have, you know, legal forms to fill out, right? Or you get your prescription at the pharmacy and you have to sign your name that you're the person who's honest about picking it up, and this is either for you or for someone you know, and you are held responsible for that. I mean, that's how life is. There are contracts, there are legal forms. You sign your life away, it feels like, at times because of binding agreements. It can't be as simple as, you give me this, I'll pay you that. Here's the thing. In ancient times, there were agreements, wildly different from the ones that we have today. This was thousands of years ago, after all. You didn't have LegalZoom to draw up a contract. What you did is you got some animals and you chop them in half. What? Really? So here we are, you know, your finger hopefully is still there as a placeholder in the scripture reading. Our sensibilities, we just abhor thinking about this, but that's how it came down in Abraham's day nonetheless. And then the ritual continued. So you have half animals laying kind of in parallel fashion. And the system was that you and the person making the agreement, you would stand at the end of what we would call admittedly a really gruesome looking lineup, and you would state the part of the agreement you were willing to uphold, and then the two of you, having each done that, would walk through the center, the aisle that was formed, from the half animal here and the half animal there, and you would say something like, may I become like these animals if I fail to uphold my end of the covenant. Now, does this part about Abraham taking a cow and a goat and a ram and chopping them in half make a little bit more sense to us, right? And on an interesting note, this is where the term to cut a deal comes from. So let's keep going with this whole covenant idea a little bit longer. Abraham, he set up this traditional covenant agreement with all of the animals and the whole nine yards. And then he's trying, of course, remember, to seal this deal God is making with him. But things get even weirder. We read, in the dark, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. Again, what? Remember, normally two people would walk in the middle of the animals that have been severed in half. Remember, they would have said something like, may I become like these animals if I don't hold up my end of the bargain. But here, only God's presence, as symbolized by the smoking fire pot and the torch, that's what passes between those animals. The idea, covenantal idea, of course, that even if Abraham doesn't hold up, you know, his part of the bargain, his end of the covenant, God will be faithful no matter what. It's just God passing through. From an eternal, divine perspective, there's no way the agreement of divine faithfulness can ever, ever be broken. There's no way. Even if our friend Abraham messes up. And this is the way our ancient, archaic story conveys something so vital to us today. There's no way the agreement of divine faithfulness can even be broken if we mess up, Even if we have a hard time believing the truth of it, or trusting the truth of it, or acknowledging that God always knows our address. This is love without conditions, strings, without any caveats attached, without any disclaimers or the finest of fine print. It's just there, unchanging, and also each moment fresh and new. Today we've heard about what is going on from a perspective of thousands of years ago. And the best part is we can still claim the truth of it today. We can still claim the unconditional, tireless truth of God's love for us today. The deal's been cut. The deal's been cut. It's the deal. And that's it. Final. End of story. What, drop the mic, right, as they say. I would like to thank Pastor, writer Rob Bell for helping me clarify what is going on in this passage for us today. So if you feel far from God's love, who moved? Not God. God has been where God has been for a really, really long time. This leads me to also say, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this unending, tireless, relentless, abiding, forever and ever, faithful, unconditional love that God has for us? It's so simple. It's as clear as the nose on your face. God wants for us light, not darkness. Again, that's why it's never deal or no deal. It's simply deal or deal. How about another animal story to close? A sort of an animal theme going on today. I'll never forget when I first saw this video. It was on the news a few years ago, and I think it came out of Austria, of chimpanzees getting let out of a metal cage and getting let out into the sunlight, into the green grassy yard. They have been cooped up in this metal cage, and the reason being that they never, ever had experienced sunlight for the longest of times is that they were used for lab experimentation. So for 30 years, these chimps were confined. And now, all of a sudden, because of a rescue organization, they were set free. And so you see them, you know, just kind of afraid, nervous, in the doorway of this cage, looking out, wondering what was out there, and gradually going out into the sunlight, gradually beckoning others to come out. You see them smiling. You see them hugging each other. You see them crying tears of joy. It's the most beautiful experience to see this movement from darkness to light. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 30 years being confined, never getting to see the sunlight, having this barest of memory of what it must have been like? And so you see them play, and they romp, and they explore, and they rest, and they bask in the glow of the sun. That's what God wants for us. That's the why of the deal. The only deal, the complete and unrelenting, tireless, joy-filled, unconditional, loving acceptance deal. That's what God wants for us. That's the why. Praise be to God. Amen. Oh God, we thank you for the love that is unending, a love that is beyond whatever we can even imagine as love. Help us rest secure in that love, and help us know that no matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter what we go through, that love never changes. Because that is the deal that you cut, and that is the only deal. We thank you this day and always. Amen.